This is Rat Pack Radio, the internet radio station that brings you everything from the top hits of music.
Hey guys, this is Bruno Mars.
To Sports Talk Radio.
With the first pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Los Angeles Rams select Jared Goff, quarterback, California.
We are here for you, WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack.
You're listening to WRPR Rat Pack Radio. Come join the pack. You're listening to Rat Pack Sports Show on WRPR Rat Pack Radio.
Blue, you're my boy!
A genius. A man who has a reputation to be the best at what he does.
You see, a man has to realize his limitations. You don't know me, and you don't know what I'm capable of.
That was a heck of an effort.
This house is a prison in the galaxy of this sucks.
Are you free enough?
This battle is over when I say it is over.
I will massacre you.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
Are you not entertained?
I say in a given week, I probably only do about 15 minutes of real, actual work.
That's how I roll.
Offensive foul!
Hello? You play to win the game.
There's the drive! Way back! It might be! It could be!
This is my favorite part coming up right now.
All right. Rat Pack Sports Show. We are back. We are live Sunday night. Rat Pack Radio. WRPR. NFL Sunday. Been a little minute, but we here. And we're going to bring you this the way we do every week. Giving you the best there is in sports talk and entertainment. We are live. Rat Pack Radio, WRPR, also streaming on the Rat Pack Radio, WRPR app, and also live on RatPackSports.com audio and video feed as well. We are live on the video tonight, and we're going to talk some NFL. Sunday nights is NFL night, so we really won't get into, any other sports. Sports we may, but the focus is NFL. We're going to talk NFL. So that's what we're going to do tonight because we're getting close and we're getting close to the, playoffs. We got about a month left in the season and a lot happening. I'll just say that, you know, as a Bucks fan, we're going to get into them a lot tonight. As a matter of fact, the majority of the conversation might just be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and what I expected for them going over to the West Coast and playing against a juggernaut of a defense and the San Francisco 49ers and what the 49ers did with the Mr. Irrelevant, rookie quarterback that, you know, went last pick of the draft. And this guy came in last week. I knew last week after him coming in and doing pretty well, basically played the full game. Garoppolo was hurt early in the fourth, in the first quarter of that game last week. And Garoppolo came in and did a great job of orchestrating the offense, making plays, and ultimately winning the game, you know, by double digits, as they have done in the last six games. So, but that was a little bit of the story. The other part of the story is the inept ability of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offense to make plays and find some protection, find some cohesion, find some timing, some chemistry, to put a better product on the field that they've displayed so far in this season, even with Tom Brady as the quarterback, who, listen, we could you know, make all the excuses and say everything that, you know, you want, but at the end of the day, Tom Brady is one of the top quarterbacks to ever play this game, even as a 45-year-old quarterback and a guy who, you know, made things happen for, 20-plus years in New England. But all of a sudden, you know, it's not, I guess he's not good. You know, last season he was, you know, still one of the best quarterbacks in the league. His numbers this season still has him in the top, you know, 15, 10 numbers-wise. But apparently this Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan base tends to think that we're a franchise that has been quarterback rich, and we just know what we're talking about when it comes to playing the quarterback position. We haven't had a dude, you know, get real good in a very long time. Brad Johnson won us a Super Bowl. And I think during those years where Brad Johnson was the quarterback, he wasn't even a top quarterback at that time. He was on the downside of his career. But, you know, moral of the story is this. And we'll get into some other games as well. I just want to touch on this real quick. Hopefully we get William Graves in and Boss Hogg, Sean Naylor as well, and get their opinion and into all this. But this, you know, moral of the story is this. When you have a great team, there's pieces in place of any great team that allows you to be that great team. And at the end of the day, these games, you win and lose in the trenches. You win and lose in the trenches. And if you can't win in the trenches, then you can't win a lot of ball games. That's just the way it goes. You do not have a chance to be a great team if you can't win in the trenches. Am I, you know, speaking a different language here, or do people just forget the game? I've never seen a top quarterback in this league be productive without a stout offensive line. Good, stellar, stout, great, however you want to put it, you do not have a chance to be great if your offensive line struggles the way that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers offensive line, you know, has struggled this season. And I know there's been times where we've been, you know, pretty good and had games where we've been consistent and done some things. But at the same time, it's not being consistent enough to where you're going to put yourself in the top half of the league from an offensive standpoint. We cannot run the ball. We've had a few games where we've run the ball great, but you can't call yourself a good running football team if you cannot run the ball. You know, we have a young quarterback, and I mean a young running back in White, who's done some really good things in the split time he's got with Leonard Fournette over the last, you know, month of the season. But it's not been consistent enough. With Leonard Fournette in the backfield, we've been terrible. We've actually been a better running football team with White carrying the ball opposed to Leonard Fournette, because Leonard Fournette feels like he is Barry Sanders or somebody. And he's not that type of runner because he doesn't have those fast twitch fibers to stop and go and plant his feet in the ground and make a cut and get upfield. But yet, that's the style he wants to pitter-pat, and he wants to run the ball, you know, like he's a small back, and you're not. You're a straightforward runner, hit the hole. But apparently, White is a better straightforward runner than Leonard Fournette is at this point, at this stage. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, playoff Lenny, but we're not in the playoffs, so it's time for you to produce in the regular season. And going off of what I'm seeing this season, man, we're going to get in the playoffs. Even if we do win our division, we're going to get in the playoffs, and we're going to be one and done. Hey, and it is, to me, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, if that's the way you want to go, hey, we made our bet. You know what I'm saying? The purpose of bringing Brady Hill was to go out there and win the Super Bowl. We went out there and in our first season with Tom Brady, and we went and won our Super Bowl. So for me, everything else is kind of, icing on the cake. Just put more icing on top of the icing. Yeah, we're terrible, and we're not that great. Yeah, I realize that. But I'm okay. Because I knew what this team was prior to Brady, and we were a rebuilding team. Brady came, we got some pieces that allowed us to go over the top and win the Super Bowl in his first season. Now, you know, as the salary cap and things hit, we're going to be faced with some situations where we're going to have to make some decisions on who we want to keep and who we want to let walk. This past offseason, we've already made a few of those decisions. We decided to let Sue walk, and we decided not to bring back Jason Pierre-Paul. Obviously, the biggest impact on this team probably was losing Sue, because our run defense is at the bottom of the league. So whatever has happened, normally one person isn't that much of an impact, but in this situation, one person is that much of an impact, because maybe it's Pierre-Paul as well. Pierre-Paul was more of a vocal leader, a guy who on the field was more vocal. I don't know how vocal he was in the locker room, but he was a He was one of them leaders that led by example and held everybody accountable. So we got a team here that I'm just going to say it, man. On the offensive side of the ball, we lack a lot of accountability. And a lot of that starts up front. Now, I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. You win and you lose in the trenches. So if you're not strong in the trenches, you're not going to win a whole lot of games. This is basically the same roster from last season, minus Gronk and minus Ali Marpet, Jensen, and Alex Kappa. And also we're missing the Tristan Wirfs. He's been hurt. So anybody that's not pointing the finger at where it needs to be pointed at, and we could blame Leftwich, we could blame Tom Brady, we could blame Todd Bowles, we could blame all those people all we want. But until this offensive line stabilizes and until this offensive line decides, hey, we're going to block today, and not just every five snaps we're going to block somebody, but we're going to block somebody every single down. It don't matter what play you call. It don't matter who you put on the field from a skill standpoint. Obviously, that's not the problem. We got Evans. We got Godwin. We got even White. He's a rookie, but he's a skillful player. I like Cade Otton. I like Brate. I like, Evans. I like Julio Jones. The skill problem ain't the problem. Tom Brady, for what it's worth, for the way he's played, he's still one of the top 15 quarterbacks in this league. And you can win with that guy as long as you have an offensive line. And the argument that I'm getting from a lot of people is, he's washed. He's struggling. My comeback is this. Name your team, like I said earlier, name your team that has had a quarterback play great with no line in front of him. It'll never happen. And usually when I ask that, they disappear or they change the topic to something else because it's not possible. Every great offense in this league has an offensive line. Every single one. Every single one. And I'm going to go right now and look at the stats. And I'm going to look at the teams with the top offenses. I'm going to try to correlate these teams with the top offenses to their record. So let me see offense. So we're going to go, we're in the offense. 2022, Buccaneers offense is middle of the league. This is just from a yard standpoint. I know they're at the bottom of the league in points. So, but yard wise, they're, between 15 and 20, Jacksonville Jaguars is actually a little bit better than the Buccaneers. But these are the top offenses. I'm just going to name them off and show me how many of these top offenses are playoff teams. All right. Kansas City playoff, Buffalo playoff, Eagles playoffs, Miami Dolphins playoffs. Detroit is fifth. They're in the hunt. Bengals playoff team. Browns they just was eliminated, I think, today with a loss. Vegas, pretty much eliminated. 49ers, we just saw them. Playoffs, Dallas playoffs. So that's the top 10. Three of the top 10 offenses in the league are not in the playoffs currently. Then you have Jacksonville. They're 11th in the league. Am I right on that? Yeah. No, 12th. Dallas is 11th. They're in the playoffs. Seattle is 13th. They're in the playoffs. Chargers is 14th. Ravens, Packers is 15th. This is just from yards. You know, then you have Saints, Vikings, then the Bucks. Now, below us is Jets, Cardinals, Commanders, Bears, Giants, Patriots, Colts, Steelers, Broncos, Falcons. Again, these are just yards. Now, we want to go to points. The Rams offense is almost dead last in the league from a yard standpoint, which is crazy, but they are. They're not even getting 300 yards per game. But let's go to points. Obviously, the Bucs passing offense is going to be better. We've been down a lot, so I expect us to be near the top of the league, and we're fifth in the league in passing. We've been down a lot, so that's expected. Rushing-wise, we're dead last. That is offensive line. We're not even averaging as a team 80 yards a game. We don't even have 1,000 yards rushing as a team. And we're now going on 14 games into the season. That is terrible. And that is what offensive line. You can say everything you want about the play calls. You can say everything you want about anything else. At the end of the day, you know, that boils down to play calling. So I don't know how, you know, you want to do anything with no offensive line. Just, again, I could do this all day long. So to me, it doesn't really matter. Let me mute this browser. Get that beeping sound out of there. Let's see who shared this. Okay, so, all right. Why is this thing on private? It shouldn't be on edit audience. This is why. I don't understand. I do these videos, and, you know, a lot of times I don't understand why when I go live on these streams, these videos, you know, come up as private when I'm literally posting to like five different groups. So I may have to change this setting in all my groups. Hopefully I don't, but we'll see. I think I'm good. But let's continue this. So if you don't have no offensive line, again, there's no ability to establish anything. There's no ability to establish an identity to do anything with the ball. I mean, you tell me, how can you establish yourself as a running team if your offensive line is bad? How can you establish your play action in your passing game if your offensive line is bad? Yeah, you got these numbers, but a lot of these numbers are empty numbers. You're down a lot. So, of course, you're gonna be at the top of the league in the passing category. Yeah. And to a certain extent, that's also a jab at, you know, Brady numbers. Because if I'm going to be that way, I was the same way when we had Jameis. You know, we had a lot of empty yards. He was at the top of the league in a lot of categories except for the ones that matter, right? Turnovers. He was terrible turning the ball over. Now, Brady is not turning the ball over like Jameis was, but if this was Kyle Trask or some other young quarterback behind this offensive line, right now Brady is where is he at interception wise? I know he threw two today. He has about six or seven interceptions on the season, and let's see. Is that even right? I don't think that's right. Because he threw two today. So I'm not sure if that's right. He should. I think he got about 5 interceptions. But 18 touchdowns, you know, 5 interceptions. That all those numbers, obviously the interceptions, you're at the top of the league at that category. Touchdown-wise, because of the struggles on the offensive end, the numbers are not there, but you're still top half of the league there. Passing-wise, you're still top half, you know, top 5 there. You know, completion percentage, you're still in the high 60s, which is still, you know, tops, you know, in that category. So there's a lot of people complaining about, you know, the team. There's a lot of people complaining about, you know, Brady's play. But at the end of the day, when we go back at the end of the season and we measure up his numbers against the top quarterbacks in the league, since I'm here, we're going to do that right now. We're going to go to individual numbers, and we're going to look at it that from that perspective, so we can get – I can get you – you know, you guys a better idea of, hey, everything is ain't on Brady. Like, he's a quarterback, and, yeah, he takes every snap. He touches the ball every single play. But – for a quarterback to be successful, so much has to go right. You know, for a lot of years, when Alex Smith was in San Francisco, up until the point where Harbaugh came, people was calling him a bust because nothing was right around him. There was chaos around him. There was no established receivers. There was no established offensive coordinator. There was nothing but a quarterback. The offensive line was in shambles, no identity. And then Harbaugh shows up, former quarterback, and then the rest is history. Alex Smith is probably going to go down. He, you know, very, very good career. I'll say very good career. Some of his numbers, he's going to finish, you know, winning percentage-wise. You know, he's got some really good numbers for his career, and everywhere he went after that, all he did was win. So was he really that bad in San Francisco, or was everything around him that bad in San Francisco? That's the question of where we need to be talking right now as a Buccaneer fan with this team. I understand it don't look good. It ain't that good. On the offensive end, but how much of it is Brady, and then how much of it is everything else around him not working? So I already read, you know, let's go to the numbers that matter, right? Completion percentage, and I know, you know, dink and dunk, but that's part of it. So, you know, Geno Smith is leading the league with completing 72% of his passes, almost 73%. Joe Burrow is 69%. Mac Jones from New England, 68%. Tua, 68%. Hurts, 68%. Stafford, 68%. Prescott, 67%. Matt Ryan, and we see, you know, what New Indianapolis has done with Matt Ryan, but even he's got a high percentage completion. Jimmy Garoppolo, 67%. Andy Dalton, 66%, Herbert, 66%, Murray, 66%, and then Brady sitting at 13th, 14th, somewhere around there at 66%. Daniel Jones, 66%. Patrick Mahomes, 65%. Trevor Lawrence, 65%. Kenny Pickett, 65%. Jared Goff, 65%, 64.9%. Tannehill, 64.9%. That's 65%. Cousins, 64%. Aaron Rodgers, 64%. So I think the barometer here that's set If you're in the high 60s, if you're above 65% completion percentage, you're in good company, and Brady is above that. Yards per average, let's see, Tua leads the league with that. He's averaging 9 yards per completion, and Brady is near the bottom. And again, what does that say? He's 31 out of 36 quarterbacks. Obviously, they got some wide receivers in here if you've thrown a pass, but out of the quarterbacks, 33 quarterbacks, he's 31. The only quarterbacks that is lower in completion percentage is Kenny Pickett, Kyler Murray, out of starting quarterbacks, 6.4%. Now, the leaders is 9%. The average is probably somewhere around about 7, between 7, I'd say about 7, you know, 7%. 7 yards per pass, per reception. So, again, what does that, you know, what does that say? You're checking down a lot. That's number one, what it's saying. Number two is saying that you don't have much time to drive the ball downfield. Tua has time to drive the ball downfield. Jalen Hurts, with his ability to escape the pocket, has time to drive it downfield. Mahomes, same thing. Geno Smith, all of a sudden, Seattle Seahawks, for years when we said Russell Wilson didn't have a good offensive line, Geno Smith is driving the ball downfield. Ryan Tannehill, driving the ball downfield. Jimmy Garoppolo, Burrow, Allen, Dalton, Fields, Goff, Mariota. Even he just got benched, but even he had a 7.5 yards per average, you know, throwing the ball. My man, Boss Hall, what's good, baby? What's good? Brady should have stayed retired and married. Well, I mean, maybe he should have, but he didn't. I don't know a whole lot about that whole situation. I really don't care because it don't got nothing to do with football. So players' personal lives, you know, that's their personal lives. And for me, I don't care to care. You know what I'm saying? That's just how I always been. I just keep it to sports. And for whatever reason, brought him back. Obviously, you know, we know the situation. So it is what it is there. But the NFL touchdown leader is Mahomes with 25. Aaron Rodgers has 22. And Brady has 16. And I think he threw two more today. So that's 18. And all these numbers are update. But what I'm saying is, you know, top of the league. Top of the league. Interceptions, he was number one in that category. For as bad as this offensive line has played, Brady has still been sacked the least amount of time. In the league. He's only taken 18 sacks. And, bro, I don't care what anybody says. This offensive line is trash. So if he's the least sacked quarterback with a bad offensive line, why is that? Because he's getting rid of the ball. He's throwing balls away. So some of these passes where people think, oh, he missed the throw, maybe he just throwing it away. Maybe. I'm not Brady. I'm not in his head, but you know, watching these games, we see what's going on, and I'm, you know, a lot of fans gonna ignore that part. I'm not gonna ignore that part just because it sounds good to just point the finger at Brady and Byron Leftwich and the other guy. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna do that. We got a Facebook user here says. Arlie Marpet retiring started the domino effect on the offensive line. Jensen got injured in training camp, and that line hasn't had any consistency all season. Agree with that. I agree with that. So we want to start, pointing fingers, man. Let's start there. Let's start there, right? Let's start there. Because that's the only way, things going to improve is fixing it up front. But again, that's next season. There's nothing that's going to happen this season to improve anything. It is what it is. So the coaches, they have to figure out a way to protect. And I know, a lot of people say we can't just run tempo all game long. Well, that seemed to be the only time we actually do something is when we run tempo. So maybe we should run tempo a little bit more than we do just to get the defense off balance, keep them on the field a little bit longer. I don't even care about running the ball anymore. Y'all saw me. Y'all see me just read that. We average less than 80 yards a game as a team rushing. I don't even care if we pass the ball anymore. If Brady not going to be here next year and he decide to move on, you know what? That's his decision. Let's end this year doing what we at least can do a little bit. Throw the ball. Throw 40, 50 passes a game. I don't care. If that's the only way we're going to move the ball and set up the run, then that's just what we got to do. But trying to run the ball, matter of fact, I'm okay if we run in white. I'm not handing the ball off to Leonard Fournette anymore. We splitting carries, man. I'm not handing the ball off to him no more. I've been calling this dude Gregory Hines for about 3-4 years. He's a tap dancer. I don't like tap dancers as my running backs because in the NFL, those holes don't stay open that long. They don't stay open that long. So you got to hit the hole when they're there. With a bad offensive line, you have to hit the hole when it's there. If you tap dance, that hole closed up, tackle for a loss. I mean, that's just what it is, man. I really don't. I really don't see why Ty Bowles is even still trying to run the ball. We're deep in the season now, very deep, and we are the worst running team in the league. Boss Hogg, I'm not sure. William Graves is probably sleeping. He probably got a hangover. He probably let's see. I'm a message him. But I don't know if I want William to come on. He might cut me off too many times. Cause he still think this defense good. I've been telling people, man, listen, we saw a top-ranked defense today. We saw it. We saw a top-ranked defense, what they look like. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb. San Francisco defense, what we saw today, they've done this all season. And in the last 6 games, they have shut out teams in the second half completely, where they're not even scoring points. So I ask again, statistically, it says we're a top-ranked defense. But when you watch the tape, we don't play like a top-ranked defense. We don't get any pressure without the blitz. That's number one. We don't get any pressure without the blitz. So therefore, if you can't generate pressure without blitzing, then you're not that good rushing the passer. I know the 3-4 defense is kind of meant to be that way, But there's a lot of 3-4 teams out there that could just rush four and still get pressure. We got to bring five, six guys. Half the time, we don't even get there. And then our cornerbacks, they can't cover. Jamal Dean is our best guy, and everybody else is replaceable. And, yeah, I said it. Everybody else outside of Dean, from a cornerback standpoint, I'm not talking about the safeties. From a cornerback standpoint, everybody else is replaceable. I don't know why I always forget the kid name. You guys know what I'm talking about. The young guy in the secondary. Obviously, he can stay. He's been a staple on the defense since the day we drafted him. So he's good. But there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of holes that need to be filled. I'm going to say something else that I've been saying for a long time, and I fully believe this. Let me see here. My man, Shai Rogers says, we got too many injuries, but it's a dub, though, for this season. Yeah. I mean, we do have injuries, but at the same time, don't the rest of the league have injuries, too? I mean, there's some teams that are in worse injury situations than we are, but yet they still manage to make it work. So I don't really like to use the injuries as an excuse, because as an organization, your job is to build depth, to set yourself up to be prepared for these type of situations with injuries and whatnot. My man Boss Hall says, is Todd Bowles one and done? You know, I don't like the one and done mentality. But, yeah, he could be. He's really going to be one and done if they figure out a way not to win this division and get into the playoffs. That's all they got to do is win this division to secure a playoff spot. This division is freaking trash. You're probably going to have a team below 500 make it. I don't see the Bucs finishing above 500. I don't. Let's see. My man says, we got a lot of heavy hitters out too, so not too many teams going deep in the depth chart like we are at this point. I'm not so sure about that, man. I'm not so sure about that. I mean, again, you know, we got injuries, but for me, it's part of the game. So you just, it's the next man up mentality, right? That's, you know, if you ever played sports, that's what we all believe in, next man up. Boss Hawk says, not a strong franchise when their coach is out after 1 year. How Cleveland of you. We not a strong franchise. I'm going to be real. Okay, let's go back. Let's go back a decade. What type of franchise had we been the 7 years prior to the last three we had with Tom Brady? We weren't a strong franchise. We weren't making the playoffs. We weren't winning a lot of games. We weren't finishing above 500. The one 10-win season we had was with Raheem Morris, and he had a team that was younger. Y'all remember that? Young and hungry. And Josh Freeman at the quarterback. And he went out there and won 10 games in the season with that group. And the majority of those guys, after they left the Buccaneers, weren't on NFL rosters. I'm going to say half of that team after they left here weren't on NFL rosters. That means we had a team full of guys that was not capable of being productive consistently enough to stay on the field after leaving the Bucks. So, no, we're not a strong franchise. I hate to say it. We won a Super Bowl. Brady brought our success. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you know, for years, you know, Denver was just struggling to get over the hump, and then, you know, Peyton Manning show up and they win the Super Bowl. Manning wasn't leading the team like Brady was, but just that aura of Manning gave them that extra juice they needed. My man says, I not get to you, Boss Hogg, because I am going to say something on that. We were making the playoffs. B.A. came and changed the culture. Brady came in. They threw it all away. I'm not so sure about that. See, this is where a lot of people, for me, yeah, we was winning, right? But I'm not so sure B.A. changed the culture. He came in with a new attitude and a new type of fire that we hadn't had from a head coach. But as far as changing the culture, we were still undisciplined as a team. We still got a lot of dumb penalties under B.A. We still made some mistakes. The same mistakes we making now, we made them under B.A. The only difference is we made up for them because we scored a lot of points. We still had these problems. Remember, folks, B.A. handed Todd Bowles this team. He could be the coach this year for this team. He decided that this is the time for him to hand the team over to B.A. Now, this plan was in place. This plan hadn't been in place for a lot of years. Since B.A. came, the plan to hand the team over had been in place. So the move didn't catch me off guard. We've talked about this for some years on the Rat Pack Sports Show. We've talked about this, you know, on the show for a while. So how much did he change? There's a lot of rumors going on. You know, he says he think Brady pushed him out. B.A. said he's coaching this year, and all of a sudden he wasn't, and Brady is back. I mean, listen, there's been a lot going around. I can't confirm, you know, any of this stuff. So everything is just rumors. Rumors. I don't have any first-hand sources to confirm any of this stuff. This is all been rumors. I'm not sure, but at the same time, if it is, hey, as a head coach, you can't let a guy push you out. B.A.'s job was secure, right? His job was secure. He wasn't going anywhere. So he could have stayed. And if Brady decided at that point not to come back, so be it. We just rebuilding without Brady. I've said it a bunch of times on this show. I was ready for the rebuild. It didn't matter to me. So Brady didn't have to come back for me. You know, I was ready for the rebuild. I was ready to see Kyle Trask step in and get his chance. That's where I was at. But at the end of the day, you know, you're the head coach. So did Brady power move us? Probably. Aaron Rodgers power move the Green Bay Packers? I don't know. You look around to all these teams where they quarterbacks are the man. They want to be a part of the process. They don't want to be left out high and dry, none of that. So, you know. I'm not sure. I mean, it might be some legs to that. But at the end of the day, B.A. stepped down. So, I mean, B.A. could have stayed on as the head coach, and we could have just did this thing with Kyle Trask, and Brady could have stayed retired. And it wouldn't have mattered to me, because the whole point with bringing Brady here wasn't to go to 3 straight Super Bowls. It was just to win one. We got the Super Bowl. So I'm not being greedy. I'm not being greedy about it at all. So everything after that Super Bowl win for me was just, you know, nothing. But let's get the Boss Hog, because this is a question he asked. Lamar Jackson in 2023? Nope. Listen. Lamar Jackson turned down top 5 money as a quarterback because he wanted to get paid more money than Deshaun Watson, because Deshaun Watson got a fully guaranteed contract from the Browns, which I think is the dumbest contract ever for. You know, but it's the Browns, and the Browns did it, so he wanted to get paid more than Watson, where smart teams ain't going to blow their salary cap like that. They're going to have outs. They're going to have clauses in their contracts just in case of injury or whatnot. And now you see Lamar Jackson is injured. And he's a running quarterback, and he runs a lot, and they depend on that running for the Baltimore Ravens offense to get going. So he turned down that money. Bucks ain't giving him that. They're not giving him that. Right now we got about $3 million on the cap. That's all we got. So if we bring in Lamar Jackson, expect to lose Lavonte David and every other single free agent, big name free agent we got going in the next season. Just we don't have that money. Brady's contract is only hitting us a minimum on the salary cap because he took a lot of it in bonuses. So his cap hit is nearly minuscule. So we got $3 million on the cap, and Brady contract is only about $800,000 against the cap. Not even, I think maybe $1 million, something like that. So now you got to add Lamar Jackson contract to the salary cap of a team that's already in cap situation. I just don't see it. Financially, I just don't see it. Would it be a good fit? I don't know. How good would Evans be with Lamar Jackson throwing on the ball? He's not as accurate as Brady, and he doesn't, you know, let's be real. He doesn't read defenses as good as Brady. So, you know, would it be worth us to keep Evans, Godwin, and some of those guys as receivers with a quarterback like Lamar Jackson? Is it worth their cap hit along with everything else for a quarterback that's going to run for 1,000 yards every season? I don't think so. So I don't see that happening. I really don't. You know, for a lot of fans, it would be nice. They would be ecstatic. But we'll be in a similar you know, he, I just lost my train of thought. But, I don't think so. You know, Russell Wilson asked for that kind of stuff. And, you know, you see what's going on in Denver with Russell Wilson right now. Not real good. So, you know, as for the rest of this season, the Bucs, they were in trouble, man. We're in trouble. And I don't see anything changing at all because we're just not that good up front. Just not that good up front. When you're not that good up front, you can only cover, you know, so many problems before things become too big of a problem, you get exposed. So, this game today in San Francisco was us getting exposed by a defense that was stout. And they exposed every single bit of problems that we had on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm not going to sit here and be, you know, be that person or be that fan to just, you know, point fingers at the skill positions and say, oh, it's his fault and it's his fault. Man. We don't have no protection. I don't care what. I don't care. You don't have protection. Quarterback is not going to do much. At the end of the day, that's all it is. That's all it is. So, you know, we got four games left? Let's see. Four games left. Actually, yeah, four games left. Bengals, Cardinals, Panthers, Falcons. And I can tell you right now, we probably lose that Bengals game. And we got winnable. Cardinals game may be winnable, but it's in Arizona. Panthers game, we've already beaten. We've already lost to them. In the Falcons game, you know, we nearly lost to them. So, we got to secure those last two games of the season to secure our playoff spot. But I'm not going to be, you know, happy about how we going to crutch ourselves into the playoffs. You'll be 9-7. 8-9. That's what I meant. You'll be 8-9 going into the playoffs. Possible 9-8, 8-9. And really the only team we have to beat Carolina, because right now they have the game up on us because they beat us head to head. And Atlanta, we got to beat them. New Orleans is out. They're out. So, we're going to take a quick break because I want to make sure I want to keep these podcast episodes to 1 hour. So, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and then I'm going to jump into some of the other games in today's matchups and get into those. So with that being said, we're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side. This is Rat Pack Sports Show. We'll be back.